One of the things I don't think we often start off with our services to God and our worship service is strictly for God. It's to encourage us to find our way closer to God, to remedy some of the challenges that we face as human beings. But sometimes we don't thank the members and the visitors that have taken time to be with us for their efforts. And I think that's an important thing to start off with. Today's lesson is going to be milestones, and we'll be presenting that in just a moment. But one of the milestones that we have as Christians is consistency. Every time that we show up for the services of God, for Bible study or for worship, for class, whatever the case may be, we're showing that we're trying to hit milestones in our life. We're trying to be acceptable to God. And that's really what this lesson is about, reminding us of what milestones should be in our lives and a reflection back on some milestones that maybe we've hit in our lives in the past or maybe we're working on in the future. So we'll be talking about that. But I just want to thank all the kids that don't sometimes want to get up on Sunday morning, even though their parents say, come on, let's go. We got to be at church. We got to get to worship service. And they don't want to get up. Or the parents that are sometimes thinking, I'm just so tired this morning. I really don't want to get going. It's important that we're here. And as Christians, we recognize what God's done for us. And this is a small thing that we can do for Him. But for everybody that's here, I appreciate you being out. So what are milestones? I was thinking about this lesson a while back, and sometimes as I work on lessons, it takes a little bit of time trying to figure out which one I want to do. Every time somebody talks about something in class or we have conversations, I think last Sunday I wrote down three potential lessons for this week just from Ryan's class, and when Brad's class is going, I'll keep writing down subjects of different lessons, and sometimes they are easy to pull from. I'm so excited about them. Other times I struggle with them because I want to make sure the message is useful for all of you and for me as well. So milestones, I think, is useful. Glennon has some of his songs today talking about milestones. But as you see before you, I'm pulling some of these, the first sections of these slides from a few different sites. Not necessarily subscribing to any of them, but they do have what I was looking for to start the lesson out. So I've tried to include the URLs on there if you do want to go back and look at them. So milestones, going back, as it talks about here, ancient landmarks, says as of unit of measure, the mile dates back to Roman times. We've been talking a lot about Roman culture because of our other classes. And it says the Latin is milia passium, meaning 1,000 paces. So often when you go back in history and you look at a measurement, it either says, okay, it's this big, it's the length of my first knuckle, or maybe from my elbow to my arm, which I think is what you often get for a cubit. As we talk about in Roman times, it's just a pace. How big is your pace? I walk, if I'm comfortable, I usually walk about 3 feet. And so if I'm trying to walk a distance and tell you how big something is, I'll walk across this room, and if I count how many times I took a step, I usually multiply that times three. I'm like, that's about 40 feet or 50 feet or whatever the case may be. But in Roman times, they did this based on 1,000 paces. And that's also where our mile is kind of originated from. He goes on to say the Romans also erected stone markers at mile intervals to notify the passerby of distances covered or the number of miles to go to reach their destination. These markers were conveniently called milestones. They didn't call them that, but our English version does. The distance from Rome were measured from the gilded column in the forum, which was inscribed with the names of the principal roads and the distances of major cities. And so they basically just had some bigger markers that also told you where you were going. So that's one of the things that we've seen. I'm not sure how many of you have grown up and actually witnessed and seen a mile marker, but we'll be looking at that in just a second. I was trying to find some from Warren County because I thought it would be nice to have some things that were local history, and I couldn't find anything. But this was all over the internet. This same mile marker here, and I'll be telling you about that in just a moment. I actually learned some things in the preparation of this lesson. As you see, the last place on this, and I'll tell you about the original national road route, ended in Vandalia, Illinois. Well, I grew up in Vandalia, Ohio, and so in my mind I'm wondering, well, I wonder if Vandalia got called that because of where this was ending at. But this article is listed up there in green, but it's the article says the extra mile. Leaders guide historical Route 40 milepost back to Whitehall. Growing up in Vandalia, it was easy for me to know everything about the National Road because the National Road came right through Vandalia. If you've ever heard of Taylorsville Dam, Inglewood Dam, those are some of the cities that were on the National Road. And the National Road was really the first road that we had that was connecting multiple states. As you can see up here, it started off in Cumberland, Maryland, and I kept seeing that sign on there every time I come across that milestone picture. I kept thinking, why are they going down to Cumberland, Kentucky for? Because I love Lake Cumberland, and I've got family in Lake Cumberland, so I think, why would they do that? Well, I didn't realize that the National Road originated in Cumberland, Maryland. But the original national route, the cities that they wanted to go from the East Coast all the way to Illinois, began with Cumberland, Maryland, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Wheeling, West Virginia, and at that time it was just called Wheeling, Virginia because they hadn't divided it, Zanesville, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana, and Vandalia, Illinois. And so those were the original destinations of the first U.S. National Road. And so what you see on the board behind me there on the left at the bottom is telling people that are on that road where they're at. I'm 251 miles away from Cumberland, Maryland. I'm 121 miles away from Wheeling, West Virginia, or Virginia at the time. And I'm only 6.5 miles from Columbus. And as I'll point on here, this next section there, actually there's a story, I don't think I included it on here, but the Whitehall is a city that's just east of Columbus. That's where this stone marker originated, and they actually got it back to where it was originally placed on there. So when they said it was only 6.5 miles to Columbus, that's why that was like that. So moving forward, milestones, a few points here to talk about how were milestones used. Kind of noted this in the article that I first began, but basically every mile they would put these stones in the ground saying, where are you at? Well, this is where you're at. Remember, in our cars today, driving 55, 65, 75, 80, whatever the speed limit is, we're used to being able to just pass a lot of miles really quickly. If we've got kids that are in sports and stuff like that, we might leave here and get to Cincinnati within a half hour or 45 minutes. So those mile markers don't mean a whole lot to us. But you go back in time when these mile markers were used, people were still using horses. People were still using carriages, and they were using wagons. They were hauling freight. So each trip that they made was very slow. And I talked in another lesson recently about all these little towns that we see as we drive around some of the state routes. And we know where Waynesville is. We know where Lebanon is. We know where Wilmington is. But a lot of times as you're driving around, you'll see these little green signs of these towns that just you have no idea why they're there. But when you were driving much slower, those towns became very important. And just like the milestones, that's how you knew where you were going from place to place. And then finally, do we have milestones today? Oh, yes, we do. They're beautiful. Take a look at this. We've all seen those on the side of the road, right? You're driving down the road and you see that little sign that says 23. And then the next one says 24. And the next one says 25. Those are mile markers, and they typically are divided at county lines. And so if you go from one part of the county to the other part of the county, you'll start at zero, and then they'll count until you get to the next county. Or if it's a U.S. route, they'll just count as far as you go on there. They still do the same thing. They let you know where you're at. One of the things, if you ever get an emergency, and for you younger people that are going to be drivers soon, if you have a problem, yeah, you got a cell phone and you know you're on a freeway, but sometimes you might break down in an awkward place and you're not sure exactly where you're at. Well, the operator on the phone might say, what mile marker are you at? And like, oh, I didn't think about that. I see a sign up there. It says 151. I'm on southbound 75 or I-71, and I'm at 151 mile marker. And they go, oh, I know exactly where you're at. So milestones are important to everybody, not just the person moving down through them, but for the people that put them there so they could make sure that people understood where they were at. So something to think about. Milestones in our lives. I was going to spend most of my time on this lesson showing milestones that we could reach as Christians and milestones that we've experienced as a human being. But I kept finding sites that basically covered everything that I had. And so instead of spending time there, I just wanted to look at some of these lists. What are some of the milestones figurative in our lives? What are the things that we look forward to? The next thing that's big in our lives, that's important, or the next thing that we hope to achieve? Well, as a parent, all of our lives begin being born. A milestone for everyone is, when's your birthday? I mean, we celebrate that all the time. This congregation is like no other congregation I've ever attended. We actually sing happy birthday when people have birthdays because we're saying, what day of the year were you born? And we're happy about that. We sing about that. And it is a joyful thing. God gives us another year of life. We should be happy about that. That is our first milestone, and we typically keep going back to it over and over. But as we go through this list, our first words might be a milestone. Every parent remembers that. Oh, I remember when they first said mommy or daddy or whatever the case is. the first day of school. Most of us are old enough to remember our first day of school. That scary bus or that scary classroom. And even as we were talking at work the other day, that I still wake up sometimes dreaming about having to be at a class at the beginning of the year that I don't know where it is. I'm 54 years old and still wake up like, oh, that was a horrible dream. So that's some of our milestones. Our first friend, they had that on this list. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that is true. The first person that we find that we meet, and maybe in school or down the street, that we actually continue a relationship, that's a big deal. Our first kiss, driver's license, voting, falling in love, high school graduation. Our first job is a big deal. They had some things on here that I hadn't thought about, but they are milestones in our lives. The first time that you experienced death in your family, somebody that you knew that passed away, that's a milestone. College graduation, a marriage, first home, having children, job changes, health scares, retirement, and end of life. We will notice that their list is exactly as you see it on there. It only goes to 19. I ask a question later about number 20. It's a pretty important one, but it's still milestones. And so all these things are milestones in our lives, metaphorically. All these things have had something to do with what affected our lives, maybe changed where we moved or lived, maybe changed how we acted or the things in our lives. So just things for us to think about. Now moving to the Bible. I was going to spend, like I said, most of my time today talking about important milestones in the Bible. And again, I found some really good sites that did that, so I was going to simplify that. Listed the URL that I pulled this from on the top there, but some Old Testament milestones. And I wrote down on my notes there, these are God's milestones, not so much ours, but they are things for us to kind of go back and look at. The creation, just like being born, we weren't looking forward to that, but creation, the fact that everything around us exists is a huge milestone. That was a milestone that God set. Just like every milestone that's on a road, that municipality has to actually go and figure out where that's at, put it into the ground, make sure it stays put, and then everybody that uses that benefits from it. In the same way, all these things that are listed here are things that we benefit as human beings, but God instigated. They had a lot of other passages cited for some of these, especially in the New Testament. I didn't have room on my sheet for that, so I simplified a lot of these. But the next one that they've got is number 2, the story of the first humans. We've talked about that today. The story of the fall of man, the great flood, the story of the Tower of Babel, the call of Abraham, the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the conquest of Canaan, David becoming king, the building of the first temple, the story of the northern kingdom's destruction, Babylon exile, and the return from exile. And they're skipping a lot I thought were important there that I probably would have put in my lesson today, but just giving you some milestones as you go along. As miles increase when you're going down a road from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, that's kind of what you're seeing for these. So milestone 1 was the creation of the heavens and the earth. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, and I don't think we pay enough attention to it, that I put down under my notes, is remembering that God is eternal. I know we are limited to what we understand from the Bible as far as what time encompasses and how short that time has been. But remember, God didn't start at the beginning of Genesis account. God already existed and had already existed for eternity. And sometimes thinking about that is a difficult thing for us. But everything that exists was certainly because of God's eternal power. And so milestones for God almost are like time for God. They really don't exist. And so just something to think about. But as you go through the list here, there's so many other things. Maybe we think of other milestones that are important to us as we do our Bible studies and conversations with other people. But these are very important. We switch over to the New Testament, and I got that asterisk on there just to remind you that a lot of the gospel passages are not just from Matthew, but also from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or a few of those. So, milestones in the New Testament, certainly the birth of Jesus was an important one. Next was Jesus' baptism, very important. Passages all related to those things there, again pulled from the URL that I had cited earlier. The temptation of Jesus, we talked about in class today. The calling of the disciples. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus' resurrection, the giving of the Great Commission, the story of the Day of Pentecost. I added number 24 on there because I thought it was also very important. My Pentecost talks about the Jews turning to Christendom. In Acts chapter 10, we see the Gentiles receiving the same invitation to become Christians and receiving the Holy Spirit upon themselves. So I added that one in there and changed the color just so you were aware of that. Milestone number 25 was persecution fueling the gospel's expansion. The story of Saul's conversion, the Jerusalem Council, second coming of Jesus, and then talking about the new heavens and the new earth. All things that we've recently talked about in some of our classes on Sunday and on Wednesday night. So we have all these milestones in our lives, have milestones set by God for His people in the Old Testament, and these milestones in the New Testament. I think one of the things I was thinking about the New Testament, we can read about Jesus being planned before even the foundations of the world were created. So God's milestones were already on the drawing board. His planning, the papers, if He had them, for what He's planned throughout the universe, it just has to be amazing. But He was already planning for Jesus to be born even before this earth existed. So many things for us. This is a picture of a Roman road. The author or the photographer took notes about where this was, but I don't know where it was at, so I just want it to be something that we think about. But as Christians, when we set milestones, it's important for us to be thinking in our minds, like I said, milestones can't exist, or mile markers today can't exist until a municipality in a city or a township or a county decides where to put those things. And they have to be based on actual fact. You can't just put up a 6-mile marker if it is like 6.5 miles, or you can't put a 200-mile marker if you're like way off. You have to be making sure that the engineers got that right. And so I want you to think about this picture today and after today's lesson. How are you setting milestones in Christ? You know what you're supposed to do. We know what we're doing. We know the road ahead is straight following Christ. It goes to God. We know if we get off this road that we are not going to be on the road at all. And we don't know where we're at if we don't have milestones. And so some of the things that we're going to talk about to wrap up the lesson today are setting those milestones. So there's some passages for you to follow along with, and we'll reflect a little bit about setting those milestones. Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That should be our first milestone right there. Who are we paying attention to? As we travel down this road of life, if we're heading, trying to get to heaven, what's a good way for us to know where we're at? Well, I'm not going to be worried about that person over there that's saying bad things about me, because the worst thing that they can do to me is kill me. I need to make sure that I'm paying attention to the mile marker that says, "Hey, Roger, there's going to be a person up here that actually can kill you and doom you to hell forever. You need to watch out for that guy and do what he says." And so that's my mile marker. It continues and it says, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." So mile marker number 2, trying to pay attention to what we're doing. Following, confessing God and Christ in our lives. And I also drew on my notes here, this idea of milestones here is cyclical. Christ only knew what God told him to do. Over and over, he told his disciples that. "I'm telling you, or you're seeing in me, what my Father is." And so first of all, he's got the plans right in his hand. He's putting that milestone in the ground and he's saying, "Hey, you, I want you to follow this milestone. Because if you follow this milestone and you do it correctly, I'm going to tell God about what you're doing." And that's what we want to do. We're making progress. We're progressing down the road of life towards heaven. In James 4:6, very small passage, but as Brian's talked about on his classes the last couple of weeks, sometimes just a few words can have a huge impact. And this is one that's always been important to me, setting a milestone. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So mile marker 3, you're putting it into the road, you're anchoring it, you're making sure it doesn't move, nobody bumps into it, knocks it over. Humility. Humility is a very important milestone for all of us. It is so easy to be arrogant. It's so easy to be angered or wrathful or unhappy with people. It is not easy to be humble. And like we talked about in class today, it's very easy to do things that are not right before God. It takes effort to do the right things. And so sometimes being humble takes effort. It's not just being quiet. Humble is not this. That's cowering, or that's somebody being afraid. Humble is just agreeing, going along with what's right for people and not taking advantage of a situation for yourself. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A lot of passages we're going to be familiar with, but I just want us to think about that, about setting milestones in our lives. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Milestone number 4. Roger, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How am I going down that road, and how am I saying I'm making great progress today? Because I'm letting my light shine the way that this verse said. And the reason that I'm letting my light shine is because I want this to happen. I want other people to see my good works and glorify God. Not go up to that verse before that and says, I'm going to be proud and arrogant and I just don't care about being humble. So, again, setting milestones. Matthew 11, starting with verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal to him. Again, Christ is setting milestones in our route towards heaven that we need to be looking for. This is one of them. Understanding. He says, no one knows except the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus has put milestones into the road and the path to heaven for us to look at. And what is it? He says, come to me, all you are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, sometimes the most important thing that we look for when we're driving in our cars and we're taking our family from place to place is a rest area. They have restrooms, they have drinks, and they have snacks. All those things can be important. The road of life, even as for a Christian, is not easy. It's a difficult road. Like I said, sinning is a cinch. You could just plop on the couch and do whatever you want to. It doesn't take any effort at all. But being a Christian takes effort. So when we're talking about milestones and progressing down the path of life towards heaven, this is another very important one. We are going to be heavy laden. We are going to be weary. But Jesus will be that rest area for us. Just like a milestone, it's what we're looking for. How many miles to the next rest area? We look at that a lot. Patty and I were just on the road a couple times this summer, and we looked for those places where we could get off the road. It's still mile marked, and it's the same place. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. The most important part there is taking Jesus' yoke, but it says, learn from me. Everything that he did is what we want to follow, and those are milestones that we have to keep in front of us. Looking for the next one. Galatians 5, 16 and 26. I think this is broken into three parts here. I say then, what's the next milestone? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, as we talked about in class today, it is easy to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't have to do any effort at all to just be satisfied with what Satan will throw out to you. What does take effort is walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So another milestone for us to be looking forward to is trying to stay walking in the Spirit. Not veering off the road, not getting sleepy. For if anybody's like me, you drive really late at night and you're pinching the inside of your leg and you're rolling down the window to get that cold air. You're trying to stay awake because you don't want to get to the point where you're in a dangerous spot. You're doing everything you can to stay on that route, on that path, looking for the milestone that you need to get off at. So not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's very easy to take the wrong exit if you're not paying attention to the mile marker or to the exit number, and to go someplace that is completely wrong. It looks right. Maybe it's got lots of restaurants and so it distracts you, or it has lots of gas stations, but you get off there and you start down this route that goes nowhere. Or worse, it goes into a rutted road that's gravel. It could be terribly dangerous. Pay attention to the map that you're supposed to be following. Again, the Bible is a great map for us to always keep under our arm. Continues on. Now the works of the flesh are evident. We've talked about this and we'll be looking at the next ones too. What are they? What are these milestones that are not to be followed? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those are all milestones that go someplace, but it's not on our route. Don't follow them. Make sure you're on the ones that you're supposed to be following. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in times past. So we heard about this. Our map that we read at home warned us about this. Somebody that's been down there on this route before said, hey, don't take that place. It looks like the right direction, but it's not. Don't follow it. But it says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If the road that we're on goes to heaven, and we're watching those milestones as they go by, and we're making sure we're applying ourselves, we will reach that destination. But every time we take a path that is not the right one, we'll pay for it. And finally, as it finishes up, talked about this, a smile for the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut, for you kids that like this song. I like all the fruits, so I'm always in favor of reading all of them. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's not the coconut. It's not the cherry. Jacob usually has some unusual fruits, so he brings them things up. Elog or Etog, I think, is what Kyle brought up recently. It's not those. What is the fruit of the Spirit? I'm looking for the right milestones on my trip. Here's what it is. These are the milestones. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So if we're driving down that road, we're doing the speed limit, everything is exactly the way that we should be doing it. There is no law for anybody that's doing the speed limit. There is a law, as we've talked about in Brad's class, the law of the Old Testament caused problems when you were in sin. Well, in today's environment, the law of that policeman or that sheriff or that highway patrolman is going to cause you problems if you're not doing what the speed limit is. So not only are we watching for those mile markers, but we're also to maintain consistency. And it goes on to say, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh. So they've put away that tendency to look off out the side of the road or get off on the wrong route with its flesh and its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So again, all things about following milestones, and that first list is perfect milestones to follow on the route to heaven. Acts chapter 17. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and men's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained, that being Jesus. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Some of the things we often forget about. Why did Christ have to be raised the way He was? Why did He have to die so publicly? Why did all these things happen? Well, there was a reason so that people would have confidence in what they saw. And today we have confidence because of what they saw as well. One of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing as we look for these milestones is to remember we need to repent when we have need of that. And so sometimes we do get off on the wrong routes. We need to correct that. Sometimes it may take gas out of our tank to drive all the way back to where we're supposed to be, and it may frustrate us, but that's what's required in order for us to get back on the path that we're supposed to be on. Think about a golfer. I'm not a great golfer, but I love to play golf. Sometimes when you get a bad shot and it goes out in the woods, you just want to keep going through the woods because I can see the flag, it's right there. But the reason you're in the woods is because you probably hit a tree or you hit something that was not in the open air of the fairway. If you want to get there and you want to be safe, take a side shot, get back in the fairway, and then proceed. Don't keep bumping into trees through the rocks and the trees that are where you are at. So sometimes we just need to be a little smarter as we look for these milestones in our lives. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the next milestone that we're watching out for is watching out for those people who walk according to the flesh. We don't want that. We want to find the milestone that says, this is for the people that are walking according to the Spirit. And he goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You will go off the road and you will drive off, maybe even die, if you don't pay attention to the route you're on. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus took care of things for us. Proverbs 14, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tent of the righteous will flourish. Again, another milestone for us to watch out for is righteousness, trying to stay on that path with those. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Again, those intersections or those exits or those routes that look like the place you're supposed to be on, make sure it is the right place. Don't just take it because it feels like it's the right one. Don't be tempted to do something that's not right. Very important verse, mentioned many times in the Old Testament. Hebrews 3:13-14, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So two more milestones that we can be looking out for, and I told you earlier that these passages are ones that we're all very familiar with. But think about milestones again. Sometimes maybe a milestone's hit by somebody and it knocked off the road and they may need that. Somebody behind you may need it in order to reach their destination. That's what this exhorting one another daily is all about. I know those people behind me are struggling. They're trying to do the right thing and this milestone's missing. They may not make the right turn. I need to put it back up here and take care of that. Helping them and taking time out of your day to do that. And again, another milestone listed at the bottom of them, holding to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, making sure that we are trusting in Christ only. So I listed at the beginning of the lesson these things about being born, our first words, all the way down to the end of the life. End of life. That webpage that I pulled this from stopped at number 19. But I have a question. What about 20? I thought it was odd that they ended with 19, so I filled it in. What about eternity? Milestones in our lives don't end at our death. So as we go forward, I want to think about a few things. Pulled that image there. Some of these tombs are in Arlington and places where they don't actually have somebody's name on it. They just have what their symbol was or what their numbers were as military officers. But I wanted something generic that we could all maybe think about that being my tombstone or being your tombstone. And so this passage goes along with that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those things that you have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." You know, there are people in our past, relatives, family members, even people that we've known about either in the church or outside the church, that have become Christians. They're gone now. They've maybe been dead for our whole lives, but they were a very diligent, active Christian when they were alive. Because we don't see them anymore, because their body's been laid down on the ground, doesn't mean that things are over for them. I just mentioned the last thing on our milestones is eternity. And so just because we are laid down on the ground or we're put into a mausoleum or whatever the case may be, our fact that we're Christians, if we've been obedient, our milestone doesn't stop at 19. It goes to 20, and it lasts forever, if we are truly reaching our destination with God in Christ. Continues on, "For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." And so that's what we will hear if we are alive when Jesus comes back for that last milestone that we're looking forward to. "And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." This is when we finally get to that destination that we've been driving so far for, working so hard to stay focused on the route, and looking for all the milestones. We will get to heaven if we follow the instructions of the Bible and not give up on them. And then as I talked about, making sure those people around us don't get distracted or pull off the road or take a route that's the wrong one. We want to make sure that they reach that milestone of heaven. And so, therefore, as it finishes up, comfort one another with these words. And that's what I'm offering to you today. Just as I mentioned, being happy that we're all here together, worshiping God and studying God's Word, to comfort all of us, to say, hey, we are making progress. We're making sure that we're on the right route. And we're looking for the right milestones. And I'm trying to incorporate the milestones that I see in my life. And so that's what today's lesson is for you today. I want you to think about milestones in the Bible, milestones in your life, and milestones from today until your death. Don't let your tombstone be the end. Let your death be the first part in an eternity with God in heaven forever. And that can happen if you're a Christian, and that can happen if you're repentant of anything that you've suffered from. If you have any needs at this time, please let those be known as we stand and sing.